Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating then, playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Each and every week, folks, that's my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and he say he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. That's the way Keith did it. During that time period, he was up there at Harvard. I did say Harvard, the University of Harvard. You know, that same prestigious institution that our honorable president went to. Yes, Keith Wright, a product of Virginia Beach, and he say he's making smart cool. Well, you know, folks, we're going to have a nice conversation this evening. Hopefully we got some folks that's calling in, that's all scheduled to come in and share some insight with us on some things that's going on in our community that we need to know about. And, you know, more importantly, I would say we ask the question, how, why, when, and all these other things. You know, you want to know and want to be an intricate part of your child's success as they move forward in their life. You know, if you want to give us a call this evening, call in and join the conversation, you can always reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Well, this evening we got a guest that's coming in, and I want to tell you a little bit about the young man that I know about him. You know, I've only had the opportunity to meet him on a few occasions. And during the time period that I've had the opportunity to meet him, I noticed that he was very into what he was doing. And what he does is that he gives and provides services for our young athletes, you know, so they have the opportunity to better themselves as we're talking about this great sports industry. Without going into any great detail, because I'm going to let him come on and share exactly what he do, how he do, how long he's been doing, and what was his passion to drive him to even get into what he's currently doing. Now, at first look, first glance, first indication, you may think, well, just another recruiting service, you know, and, you know, they're out here hustling us and all these other things. Parents, let me tell you something. Folks are only able to hustle you and abuse your kindness if you allow them to. What do I mean by that? Like I always say here on the Parents Coach, the Parents Network, folks, we're here for a reason. We're here to make sure that we can educate, guide. Let me back that up. We're here to make sure that we can guide you. We can assist you. We can mentor you. And we can educate you in the game. We can make sure that you have a full understanding of not only the recruiting process, but all other aspects of what's going on in the sports industry. know, I say that to bring this point up, and then I'm going to bring our guest in, and then we're going to chit-chat for a little while. But I need to bring this point up first because this has been a hot topic in the sporting industry world over the last few weeks. And we're talking about the situation that happened at Baylor. For those of you who may not know, who may be on the outside, you know, listening in, or may not even have a clue of what I'm talking about, we're talking about the recent scandal that took place at Baylor where a number of young men have been accused of sexual assault. And as a result, they got rid of the coach. Now, check this part out. They got rid of the coach. I'm not sure exactly what they did with the athletic director. Public opinion was calling for the chancellor, the president's head, president of the university, president of the university, asking him to step down as well. And in somebody's wise wisdom, not only removed him from the position, but they reassigned him as the chancellor, still on the campus, still at the university. Not sure exactly how all that works and how all that plays in, but I'm looking for you to be removed. I'm demanding that you step out of the picture altogether. I'm demanding that you're no longer part of that institution. Why would you simply be moved over to the chancellor's position? You know, parents, I'm going to tell you how important our positions are. Our positions have to be that voice. We have to be that voice that steps up and calls a foul, a foul. I don't care if it's a flagrant foul. I don't care if it's a mediocre foul, whatever. A foul is a foul. And what I mean by that is simply saying, hey, something's wrong with this picture. And we need to address this issue. Now, a lot of times our children may not address the issue because they may be intimidated by the coach or worried about repercussions, so on and so forth. We should have no problems addressing the issue and addressing the issue at the highest level. So, on that note, folks, we got to do better. We have to do better. We have to do better. It's not an optional thing. It's a must. It's a must. Okay, if you want to join in on the conversation this evening, you can always reach us at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. Well, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and see if this is our guest on the line here, bring him up, let him give you a little introduction to who he is, what he do, and how long he's been doing it, and what is his passion to keep him in the business.
How you doing, Mr. Scott?
Hey, what's going on, sir?
Hey, nothing much. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing just great now that you're on the line with us.
All right. Thanks for having me, man.
Always, always, always my pleasure. You know, I've been trying to get you on for a hot minute now.
Oh, yeah. So thanks for finally being able to make that happen. You know, thanks for being able to be here to support you and, you know, talk about a little bit about what we do here at Recruit 757.
Okay. Now that you don't open up that door, tell us a little bit about, first tell us who you are, and then tell us a little bit about Recruit 757 and your passion to be a part of that organization.
All right. Well, my name is Jamar Hawkins, and right now I currently serve as the Director of Basketball Operations for Recruit 757. And like you said, we are a scouting service. So what we do is we, you know, quote unquote, we pair athletes with colleges. Now I kind of cringe when people, you know, kind of box us in as a recruiting service because, you know, I personally do a lot more than just that. I tutor, you know, at least 4 days out of the week at elementary school. We also give back. We provide uniforms for teams. You know, so we do way much more than, you know, just just, you know, as a scouting service. But me, myself, I also work as a sports reporter, so I write for the Virginia Pilot. I write for Recruit 757. You know, full-time, I write for Recruit 757 Basketball. So, you know, I'm a busy person. I'm definitely a busy person, but pretty much everything that I do is centered around helping out kids.
Well, you know, and saying all that, and as you see, folks, he's quite busy, you know, because reporter always got to meet them deadlines, so, you know, they got things constantly going on, especially if he's constantly on the go, on the move, checking out sports events here, sports events there, so on and so forth. And also, right, on top of all that, keeping those late hours. Tell me a little bit about your passion to cause you to get involved in something like this. Now, I heard a story one time before at one of your events. Now, let me see if you're going to share the same story.
Well, the story I'm sure I told was when I was about 8 years old. You know, I told my dad that I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. You know, of course, you know, as any parent, you know, they believe in you, but, you know, there's some sort of hesitation, you know, that an eight-year-old with, you already know what he wants to do. So, you know, in the back of my mind, you know, growing up, even though I played sports, you know, I always wanted, you know, be the sports reporter, that side of things. So I just happened, graduated from Norfolk State. Luckily, I got a chance to work with Virginia Pilot newspaper and, you know, branched off and work with Recruit 757 now. So like you said, being a reporter is definitely something that you have to have a lot of passion for. You have a lot of late hours, meeting deadlines, you're hustling this event to that event. You know, one time, you know, just a month ago, I had to do Virginia Tech spring game. You know, I came home and I had to do another, you know, another event the very next day. So there's not a lot of rest in between. You know, there's a lot of turnaround in our job. So, you know, I'm just blessed. You know, I'm a young guy in the field, so I feel very blessed to be able to be in the position I'm in now.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. And yes, folks, he is a young guy.
29.
But he's doing what he have to do. He's doing what he have to do and doing it mighty well. You know, like I said,
thank
I was very impressed, you know, just watching him in action a few times as he hosted a few events that I had the pleasure to attend and also speak at. You may have heard me mention something about 757 once before. You may have seen me tweet it or may have seen me posted something on Facebook. There's another component, Recruit 757, headed up by our friend, Mr. Andy Hilton, who we had on one time before. And
right,
them two gentlemen work together to bring the updates, insight, and just lay it out plain and simple for what's going on in the sporting industry here and the 757 area of Virginia. But
absolutely,
not only 757 area, these fellas, they get out and about. They get out and about. Matter of fact, recently, DeMar just had a huge event, well, I'm going to let you tell us about the event that you have.
Well, actually, it's coming up. It's on June 15th. We're having the Happy Roads Futures Classic. It's basically two games, two middle school all-star games. There'll be a girls' game at 6 o'clock p.m. and a boys' game at 7:30. And what we've done, we pretty much, you know, through a trial process, we pretty much selected 48 of the top middle school basketball players in the area. Now, of course, we kind of you know, get them based on their GPA as well. So, you know, they at least have to have certain GPA requirements. You know, we get coaches' recommendations as well. So that event, that'll be going down June 15th at Kickapin High School. You know, so we look forward to having a, you know, a nice turnout. Like you said, you've spoken at our event in the past, and you see how we've done things. We do a lot of things that, you know, uplift the kids. It's not really more about being competitive. It's more about, you know, having fun, you know, having fun and setting a positive environment for the kids because they have, you know, all summer. They have all year to play AAU and competitive basketball. But what we try to do is set an environment that is fun and, you know, an environment they can have fun in and, you know, get exposure, but also just see some positivity going on. You know, Coca-Cola does a lot of great things for us. Buffalo Wild Wings comes in, does some great things. You've spoken, you know, the who else comes in? We have, you know, the military that comes in and does things for us. So we just try to surround those guys with you know, surround the athletes with great people in the community, you know, great positive people. So, you know, come on out, June 15, come out to Kickatan. You see a lot of great talent, girls and boys. Buffalo Wild Wings will be out there. So, you know, everybody come on out.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you said that it's a middle school event. You know, a lot of mm-hmm. times we hear about the showcases and we hear about the different events going on, and they're focused around our high school kids. But you have this time chose a middle school event. Why in particular a middle school event?
Well, when I became a reporter 2 years ago, I noticed that there was a lot of showcases, as you said, dictated towards, you know, the high school level. You know, that's great. It's fine and dandy. But it became kind of oversaturated. So me being the visionary, you know, that I am, I started to see what would be the next level that, you know, that we could affect, that we could, you know, get the ball rolling as far as the college recruitment. So, of course, last year we decided to do the middle school showcase, and we had great feedback from the parents and some of the players. So this year I kind of always had an idea of wanting to do an all-star game, so I decided to reach down to the middle school level. And I thought it'd be, hey, let's see, you know, if we can do something that we do for the high school kids in the middle school level, and maybe we can instill some kind of confidence in those kids as well, you know. So we've had great feedback so far. We've just gone through the trial process. We actually announced the teams tonight at 6 o'clock. Hopefully, you know, everything turns out well. Like I said before, we just want to set a positive environment and show kids the right way to do things. I never guarantee kids that, hey, I'm going to teach you how to go pro, you know, because it's rare that you'll be a professional athlete. I don't tell kids that. You know, what I tell them is that basketball is a tool to get a free education. And what we do is try to set the platform that you'll be able to use that tool to get a free education, because that's pretty much where everything boils down to. That's what we teach.
Well, you mentioned something that you announced the list this evening, or the list has been put out there this evening.
Yes, sir.
Is it something that you could share with us, or is it posted somewhere, or?
It's posted on our website. If you guys go to ultimaterecruit.com, you'll actually be able to see the list. You go to our Facebook page, you know, Recruit 757 Basketball. The list is up there. It was a video done by my reporter, Tamara Brown. She's very awesome, also talented young lady. But she did a video which announced, you know, the players for the girls and the boys game. So, you know, it's pretty cool. You got to check it out, get a chance.
Okay, we will. We'll do that. We'll do that, and hopefully we'll be able to post the link up on our Facebook page as well.
I'll be sure to get it to you.
Well, we definitely appreciate that. Well, you know, and the process of putting together a middle school showcase. Now, when you say a middle school showcase, are we talking simply eighth graders? Are we talking sixth, seventh, and eighth grade? You know, what are we looking at there?
Well, we start at fifth grade, so we actually do fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. So that's the age group that we primarily work with. And we work with the fifth graders because we find that the issues that the sixth grade students are facing, they're pretty much the same underlying issues that the fifth graders are facing as well, in terms of being able to, you know, deal with adversity and establishing some sort of confidence. So we feel that, you know, by giving them, you know, having them involved in our showcases and teaching them about, you know, being prepared for high school and, you know, being prepared for college, these are things that were able to help them, you know, kind of grow as they enter middle school. So, like I said, just reaching out to the middle school level, we feel that we're able to have more of a impact than we would, you know, on the high school level at this point in time.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things that we like to do here at the Parents Coach to Parents Network, once we connect with you, we normally like to stay connected with you and try to follow you all the way through. Is there a plan from Recruit 757 and you know, the organizations that's putting all this together to track these young men to see, you know, how many of them actually go on and go to college? And, you know, just like you say, you do some tutoring and mentoring and things like that. Is there any plans to, you know, just follow up with them periodically? see where they're at, you know, do some different things with them other than basketball, some educational things. Is there any other plans in the works that that you can share with us at this point?
Yes, absolutely. What we do, and we've actually started this initiative this past season, we've enabled some of the high school seniors to work with the community outreach projects that we do. So, for example, back in March, we did a math day at an elementary school in Portsmouth where we had about, I think we had about 7 high school seniors that came out and worked with us. So what we do is we try to get them involved in our community outreach projects early. And keeping up, we keep up with them their college freshman years. We try to show people, like, hey, you know, because some of the guys that we write about, they're not always the best prospects coming out of high school. But they're guys that have worked hard and have maintained their education. And, you know, these are guys that we use as a model for some of the younger kids. And, you know, like yourself, for instance, we can use him as a model. And, you know, some of the other kids that haven't come in as that 4- and 5-star recruit, but these are guys that have worked hard and, you know, have been able to maintain their academic standing. And, you know, they've been able to lead good lives. So that, you know, we do try to connect, from the time they're in middle school and high school to, hey, what are they doing, you know, with their post-high school career. And like you said, it's not always about basketball. You know, we have kids that have gone on to, you know, went on to film school, you know. So these are things that we teach outside of sports that are important in life as well.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, I had a couple of programs in mind that, you know, still on the drawing board as far as, you know, something, a different avenue as far as motivating kids to utilize their talent to move forward in sports. And not,
right.
Again, like you said, not necessarily saying that everybody's going to go off and be a professional athlete, but they can go off and be a professional, you know, just
right,
like yourself.
Right.
You know, you're doing journalism, you know,
right.
and that's a vehicle of sports just as well as media, just as well as marketing, just as well as management, medicine, you know, all these other things that encompass or all these other things that that the sports industry is a part of the sports industry. Uh-oh. I don't know if that's you or me that we got some static in the background. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. I got you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. I didn't know what was going on there. We had some noise going on there.
I'm sorry. But, yeah, I feel like, you know, there's a thing that we need to mold our kids a certain way. We need to get away from saying, hey, you need to be an athlete. There's different aspects of, you know, that you can affect sports without being an athlete. You can be in the front office. You can be in management. Like you said, marketing. Everything is not about being an athlete. So we need to, you know, we need to be certain that we're molding, you know, the total person and not just the athletic side of the youth. You know, and that's something that we try to do.
Exactly. And you know, I say this to parents all the time. I say, you know, our kids have this focus on the hardest job to get into in the sports industry. You know, everybody wants to be the athlete, because everybody smells that quick, fast, easy payday. Instead of looking at all the other fields and avenues and
right,
different positions that's in the sporting industry, you know,
right,
just to have one sports team. We're talking about at the professional level. Say you got a team of basketball. You got a team of 13. But just with that one team of 13, there's probably well over, you know, 30 to 40 people that support just that one team.
Absolutely.
You know, when you're talking about strength and conditioning coach, when you're talking about the sports doctor, when you're talking about, you know, security, when you're talking about, you know, marketing, advertisement, media, you know, social media, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's out
right
there. The doors are open. And our kids need to start focusing on some of those things as well. Because
right,
you know, hey, if you love the sport that much and you have that big of a passion for it, then opportunities are out there. Opportunities are out there. So
right.
Going back to your event, and you said it's coming up on the 15th, which is right around the corner.
Yes,
and
sir.
You said
yes,
you have selected, how many did you say?
We selected about 46 student athletes, 24 boys, and about 20 girls, roughly about 20 girls, 22 girls.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. And you didn't mention whether or not there was going to be a fee to attend this event.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Adult is $10, general admission, $5, children 12 and under.
Okay.
It'll be at Kickatan High School, that is home of the Howard White Jordan Classic, which Kickatan hosts, you know, every year, part of, you know, the Jordan Hoops brand. Be a great event.
All right. Now, does that $10 cover being able to see both games?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That $10 does cover both games. Unless you leave, of course you have to pay again. But that $10 does cover both games if you want to stay and watch both games. Because we want everyone to be able to enjoy, you know, both talent, you know, both the girls and the boys. That's the reason. At first we were going to just have a boys game, but we wanted to include the girls because we have a lot of young rising girls talent in the area. Probably more so than ever before. So we figured we'll give them a jump as far as getting them exposure and, you know, things of that nature as well. So, like I said, it'll be a great time. We have a lot of good young talent. We have one of the boys in our event, he actually has a Division I offer already. We have some good talent playing.
Okay, all right. Sounds like y'all have a great plan. I heard you just say something, and, you know, I want to make sure I heard what you just said.
Absolutely.
You made mention about a young man having a offer already.
Yes, sir. Verbal. Let me clarify. He has a verbal offer.
Okay. And that's interesting because, you know, what kind of message are we really sending to a child in middle school when we put an offer on the table, when a coach puts an offer on the table for a middle school child? You know, that kind of bothers me a little bit. I say that, and you know, many parents that I've talked to also have that same feeling because at that point the child quit focusing on what they really have to do in their education wise.
Right.
Because they get that impression that, well, hey, as long as I maintain at least now it's a 2.3, as long as I maintain at least a 2.3, then I'm good to go. Although you're capable of having a 3.5, 3.7, 4.0, whatever. But you just focus on maintaining that 2.3 just so that, you know, you're able to get in there.
I kind of think it's a double-edged sword as far as with the college coaches, because I don't feel like a lot of them actually want to offer kids at an early age, but they kind of have to because you have the game as far as recruiting is evolving, and kids are starting to get interest a lot early. And, you know, I've heard – you know, I have a few kids in the game. You know, they're already getting recruiting interest from a few schools, and you know, maybe it is early. It is too early, you know, for those kids to have offers. But you know, as far as especially with the smaller schools, they know if they don't get involved with the kids early, they won't have a chance with the kids. So you know, those coaches are definitely pressured to offer kids at an early age, because you know, once the bigger schools swoop in, you know, they won't have a chance with the kids for the most part anyway. So, I see both parts. You know, I'm a parent. You know, I have a child, you know, even though she's not near the recruiting age, I understand, you know, the concern. But I think it's kind of depending on the child. You know, can the kid, is the kid mentally, you know, mature enough to be able to handle a college offer that is, and the attention that comes along with it?
That is very true, very true. That part right there holds a whole lot of value in the overall picture. And when we talk about that particular conversation, you know, whether or not the child actually has, I think my call just dropped off. Whether or not the child actually has the maturity level to even, you know, have a offer on the table at that point. You know, and then another thing, parents, I'd like to share with you, what happens if that coach is no longer at that institution? You know, what happens if that coach is no longer at that institution? Let me see if I can get my caller back on.
Hello?
Lamar, you still there?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I heard what you just said about what if the coach is no longer there. And you have, like I said, you have a great point. You know, I'm not saying that it's perfectly fine to recruit middle school kids, but I think just like even with recruiting upperclassmen, it's a risk with both. I think the only thing as far as upperclassmen is that physically you kind of know what you're getting there, but mentally, you know, they can go off at any point just like a younger kid could. So you're kind of taking a risk, you know, recruiting a high school kid, period. You know,
yeah.
I just think it depends, like I said before, it depends how mentally mature these kids are. You know, because right now you're seeing eighth graders that are coming in 6'2", 215. I have a kid in my game, he's 6'2", 205. So he's physically, he's no different than a senior right now, you know, but the only thing is mentally. There's a difference. But I mean, as far as when you look at him, you couldn't tell that he's an eighth grader. You would look at him, he looks like a senior.
Yeah, I know. All the way up until he opens his mouth. All the way up until he opens his mouth,
right?
He's like, okay, who am I talking to? What in the world is going on here?
You right, know? Absolutely.
And I think that's where we have to be more proactive as parents and be more proactive as, you know, organizations
Hello?
Such as yours to educate these parents.
Hello?
And educate these. Yeah, I'm here.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me? I can hear you. You still there? Okay, look like he's dropped off the switchboard again. But what I was saying was we have to be able to educate these parents and educate these athletes to the point of don't fall for the old okey-doke. You know, don't just go out there and, you know, just because somebody dangled that carrot in front of your face think that you need to jump on it. You know, because, again, it's all part of the game. You know, it's all part of the game. And there's so many other things that our children can focus on at this stage in their life. Let them get a solid academic foundation before they start focusing on what's going to happen athletically. Because far too often, many of them jump on this athletic track thinking that, okay, hey, athletics is going to carry me everywhere I need to go. And then from there, next thing you know, I think Mr. Hawkins is back with us. Let me see if I can plug him back in.
Yeah,
I'm
not sure, man. Yeah, I'm not, maybe the storm, you know, knocking me out.
I'm looking at you here on the switchboard. I know when you drop off, and I just keep on talking and keep on rocking and rolling. If you can get
right.
a chance to call back in, you call back in. If you don't, then I understand that as well.
I'm here with you.
I appreciate that. And the point I was making is, you know, again, going back to that point of what happens, one, if the coach is not there, two, making sure that athlete has a solid academic foundation before
right.
they just get their head blown up on, hey, this coach wants me. Because you have to look at it from the standpoint as a parent, you know, going through the game, playing the game. Okay, now my child's more focused on playing here and playing there and everywhere else. Because what these coaches are doing, which I call them used car salesmen, What they're doing, they're trying to get that child's interest, trying to get that child to possibly commit, you know, to be a part of their program, whether or not they're going to be there or not. And once that child commits, that takes that child off the board from a program that may even be an up-and-coming program, from a program that he may be able to walk right on in and have a valuable starting spot, you know. But once he's taken off the board because he's already committed, you know, just by street etiquette, other schools aren't supposed to even approach him, try to entertain anything that he's doing. I say street etiquette because there's no written law. You know, somebody will slip a back door, man, in there real quick and try to see what your child really and truly wants to do.
Gentleman's code.
The street etiquette, exactly. But the street etiquette is, you know, once that child is off the board, then all hands off. But, you know, but my biggest fear is, does that child have a strong enough academic background, you know, and is that coach really and truly trying to guide that child at this point to have a strong academic background, you know, for the next 5 to 6 years? If you're looking at offering the child, you know, at 7th and 8th grade, you know, you still got 5+ years before that child is even able to come to your school.
Right.
And, you know, what's the child's grades going to look like? If the child slips and falls off the bandwagon, then what you going to do? Now that child hasn't been looked at because nobody else has been entertaining the child because he's been off the board because he had initially committed to some other program.
Right.
So then come his senior year, now you got a bad situation. Or if the child's game fall off, is the coach still going to bring him in? That's the part that I'm always interested in hearing. You know, will the coach honor that offer, or will the institution honor that offer in the event that that athlete's game slips a little bit, or that athlete's game was at its peak when the coach seen that child in the 8th, 9th grade.
Right. And that's kind of the, you know, that's, like I said, that's both sides, you know, taking a risk. If the kid chooses to commit, you know, he's basically cutting off the rest of his options, you know, which isn't worth it at that point when you don't know as far as how your development is going to grow. Because you could be, you know, you could be a top 100 kid in the 8th grade, and then, you know, in the 12th grade, you know, you're afterthought. You know, you may be a JUCO kid. So it's kind of a risk, like you said, and if the coach goes away, okay, does the school still honor the scholarship? Well, we know in most cases, we know the answer to that is no, you know. But, you know, the kid also doesn't get, if he signs his letter of intent, he doesn't get to go to another school unless the school releases him, his previous school. So it's kind of like, you know, we're locking these kids into these scholarships, but are we really giving them the options to do the same thing that the coaches are allowed to do, you know, which is, like I said, that's the kind of ironic thing about this whole situation. We want to reach out to them early, but once we lock them in, how many options do they have? Do they have the same options that the coaches have?
Exactly.
Very interesting. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they don't. They're stuck. If coach leave and they've already signed their, you know, their national letter of intent, you know, they have to stay at the school unless they get a release. Well, then the school will say, hey, you can go to another school, but you can't go to this school, you can't go to this school, you can't go to our rival, you can't go to another school. So they still dictate their options. So it's kind of, you know, it's a risky business on both sides.
That's so true. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's tough. Recruiting is a tough business, I think. But I think it's definitely going down to the middle school level, you know, so don't be surprised if, you know, in a couple of years you hear about 7th graders and 6th graders getting real interest. Because what college programs have to do, they have to stay ahead of the game. They have to stay ahead of other college coaches. So if, you know, that's what it's all about.
You have to stay ahead of the game, but you're staying ahead of the game on the shoulders of our children, you know,
right.
And it's making it tough for, you know, think about that single mom who
mm-hmm.
all her child wants to do is play ball. You know, is he really going to stay focused academically if, you know, he's struggling now, but he's a heck of a ball player? Is he really going to stay focused academically if he thinks that you got coaches already coming at him?
Well, I mean, do we put that on the parents, you know, to maintain that foundation then? You know, I think that's a question we have to ask as well.
That's true, and that's why I say, you know, and the parent has to have some insight and some knowledge. You know, the parent's thinking, well, yeah, he's going to, let's throw a school out there. He's going to University of Virginia. He's already committed to University of Virginia. Okay, 4 years from now, or 2 years from now, University of Virginia done fired their coach and they got somebody else in. A year and a half later, they done did the same thing. Now where your child going? By the time we get around to the time for that child to go, where's he going? And you know, UVA, they don't play around when it comes down to academics. You slipped slightly off that bandwagon, and you're looking for a new school.
It's tough all around. I mean, I think, you know, we have to remember, too, that, you know, you're not just an athlete when you go to college. You have to be a student as well. Even though UVA has a good basketball team, they also have their great school. You know, they're, you know, one of the top five public schools, you know, in the country. So that's something that these kids have to remember, too. Like, hey, if I commit to this school, if I commit to Duke, who also is one of the top schools, Stanford is another top school, you know, I have to be a student as well. You know, it's going to be tough as an athlete. You know, I actually talked to E.J. Manuel at his football camp, and his plan was to be a biochemist when he went into Florida State. Well, he realized that, you know, he spent, you know, a lot more time in the football field than he could in the classroom when he got to Florida State. So it was pretty much impossible for him to be a biochemist. You know, so luckily it worked out for him, you know, his first round draft pick. But, you know, he knew that education was something that he needed to fall back on as well. So that was, you know, good thing.
You know, that happens far too often where our kids mm-hmm. go there with the mindset of,
right,
you know, wanting to get a degree in a particular field. And once they get there and realize the rigors and the demands of that sports program, then they turn around and have to change their major just based upon not having the time available. You know,
right.
That's another thing that I personally have a problem with, because that's selling that young man short. Because, you know, they have that strong demand on, well, you have to attend the class. Well, you have to attend, you know, this game, this practice, all these other things. You have all these demands on you. But I know a young man that went to school, wanted to be an engineer, have been talking about wanting to be an engineer, electrical engineer, as long as I've known him. And I've known him since he was about 7 or 8 years old.
Right.
He gets to school. He's on a football scholarship. And all of a sudden, what happens? The engineer thing gets kicked to the side. Luckily, he ended up staying at the school for a fifth year and ended up getting started in the engineering program. But then in order to complete it, you know, he would have had to be around a little bit more time, and, you know, that wasn't just in his plan. You know,
right.
By that time, he had already tried to start his family and all these other little things, so on and so forth. Right now, he's in the military doing well, still doing some engineering work with the military, so I think they're going to continue to pay for his schooling. It's going to work out for him.
Nice.
in all actuality, you know, his dreams was dampened when he found out that he couldn't do it and play football. You know,
right.
And that was his two dreams right there. You know, he wanted to do engineering, but he also had that love and that passion for the game. But,
right.
You know, he also realized that, okay, his chances to go to the NFL wasn't in his cards. So he wanted to focus heavy on that engineering program, and that just didn't work out for him. But, you know, in the end, something worked out for him, and he's doing just great.
Right.
So, yeah, it's very important that our kids have a solid academic foundation.
And it starts early. We have to start, make sure that it starts, you know, elementary school, not just we wait till they get in high school to try to preach academics. We have to give them that foundation early. You know, starts at home, you know, it continues in school. And as far as athletics as well, you know, and it's one thing I hate to see a coach that, you know, is all about sports, because, you know, life is not all about sports. Life, you know, you have to be smart. You know, you have to be a well-rounded person, well-rounded individual. You can't just be an athlete, you know, 24 hours, 7 days a week. So I think it's important that we start that process early, as far as getting our kids to be a student athlete and not just an athlete.
I really don't like that word. that word student athlete has such a false concept to me. And we've talked about that several times here on the Parents Coach Parents Network. You know, and I'm not saying that to knock you what you just said. I agree with you. Be academically focused. But just to give you a little background on the language of student athlete, you know,
okay.
that language was created back in 1950s by the first president of the NCAA.
Okay.
And his whole intent behind creating that particular word, student athlete, or putting those two words together, was so that he can say, these kids that's attending this particular institution are students, not just athletes. Because if they're just athletes that are attending classes, then one, we have to compensate them as though they work for the university.
Okay.
So what happened back during that time period, a number of young men were getting severely injured, like breaking their necks and all this other kind of thing in college football. So in order to stop them from being able to sue the institution, then they attached the word student on there and said that they know they're student athletes. They're not just athletes. They're not here working, although they were helping the institution bring in major revenue. They can't sue us because they're students. So that's where that whole term came in, as the word student athletes came about. And I try to shy away from it because it's used for the wrong intent. I know if they're going to focus on the athletes being academically inclined and being part of the academic process, I understand that. All well, fine and dandy. But don't just hide that behind the word student athlete. Simply say that, okay, hey, these kids are athletes, and these kids are student athletes, so they don't reap the benefits as everybody else out there. You know?
Right. Right.
You
okay.
know, so, you know, that student athlete thing has a real sore spot to me, you know, and they're still trying to use it to justify not compensating these athletes, you know, for what they're worth, you know. And I'm not sure exactly what your take on that is, and it'd be interesting to hear it because you're a young man and, you know, recently out of college not too long ago yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd just be interested to hear what's your thoughts on student athletes, as I would say, receiving some type of stipend for their services?
I think we have to be careful with how we also label them workers, or if that's what we're trying to say they are, because they also are they paying taxes, you know, things of that nature as well too. But I do agree. I think they should get some kind of, I guess you could say, stipend for being an athlete. I don't think you can say an education is enough for what those guys do. I mean, when you think they're having two-a-day workouts and, you know, practice, and is that something that an average student is doing, you know, plus going to class? So I think they do need a stipend. You know, you have guys that they can't even afford to go home. They can't afford to get haircuts. They can't afford to eat. When I was in college, a lot of athletes, once the dining hall closed, they didn't have any money to get any food. They weren't allowed to have jobs because they were on scholarships. So, you know, they were worse off than an average student was. So, yeah, I mean, I think they should receive, you know, some type of stipend.
Well, you said something just now which is very interesting. You said they wasn't able to get jobs because they were on scholarships. But
right.
A student that's attending that very same institution that's there on an academic scholarship can get
mm-hmm.
a job.
Right, absolutely. And that's the thing that sucks. That absolutely sucks.
Exactly. And then I go on even further. Say, for example, you're going into exam week. Say exam
right.
week is coming up, you know, this week or whatever. And we have two away games. That athlete can't say, well, hey, coach, I'm not going to attend these games because I want to sit here and cram for these exams.
Right.
That's not going to happen. But the minute he tries to pull that one, he's going to be looking for a new institution to attend.
Right. Because I think a lot of these parents, they don't understand that scholarships, they aren't four-year scholarships. They're one-year renewable scholarships. So to say that a person is taken care of when they get a scholarship, a four-year scholarship, that's not exactly true. So it's not, like you said, if a student athlete or an athlete, if he misses, if he wants to miss a practice or a game to study, well, he'll be off scholarship. You know more than likely he'll lose his scholarship. But an average person, look at the average student, could take off work if they wanted to study. You know, they may not get paid for that day, but they'll still keep their job.
That's true. You know, well, I'm not going to attend the Glee Club meeting, or I'm not going to attend public affairs, you know, or whatever club that they have there on the campus or other activity that they have going on because,
right.
you know, I'm studying for my finals. Okay.
Right.
Athletes are gone. During the time period that their finals are going on, they get back to the university, they cram themselves, they get them in, and then next thing you know, prime example, look at basketball over the holiday time period. Them boys are out playing when everybody else is at home chilling.
Right, absolutely. Thanksgiving, Christmas, Thanksgiving football, you know, Christmas, you know, we have basketball tournaments.
Yeah,
even baseball guys, they're playing during Memorial Day weekend, so... These athletes, they compete. They compete, and, you know, they can't even sign jerseys and get compensation for signing their jerseys. Their own game jerseys. But if you go to a bookstore, you see those same jerseys. They're $50, $75, $100. You know, the athlete is sitting there broke. You know, can't afford to eat. So.
The question goes back to, you know, you're talking about a jersey that's, you know, anywhere from $50 to $100. All depends on who the athlete is.
Right.
Who's getting that money? It definitely ain't going to that athlete.
Not going to the athlete.
And the part that really bothers me about that is you look at the two major revenue sports.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about football and basketball in most institutions. Them are the two major revenue sports for most institutions around the country. They actually provide the bulk of the finances for the other sports, 22 sports or 21 sports or 20 sports that that institution has.
Right.
You know, the money that they bring in compensate others on their scholarship.
Right,
that
absolutely.
That makes no sense to me, you know.
Right.
That makes no sense to me. But, you know, that's a whole nother story. We could be talking about this particular issue for a while now. Give us some more information on your event. We're winding down here. We're about the last 3 minutes of the show. We've been talking about a little bit of everything tonight. Hey, I truly appreciate you coming on and joining in with me. Just give me some more information, some highlights on what to expect on the 15th and what time we need to get in there to get a good seat. And what else you got going on? What else is in the plans coming up?
Not a problem. Like I said, June 15th, we're having the Hampton Roads Futures Classic at Kickatan High School. The doors open up at 5:30 p.m. First game, the girls' game starts at 6, the boys' game at 7:30. Expect to see some great middle school talent. Actually, we start at 5th grade, so we'll be doing from 5th grade to 8th grade. You see great talent. You know, we have kids coming in from California. We have all types of talent. We also have a Labor Day event that kind of coincides with what Norfolk State is doing. So we have a lot of great things coming up that's geared towards the youth. We'll also be helping out with some community events. So what we just want to do is just kind of set that positive tone for the summer. We want to, you know, kind of hopefully that Futures class that will launch a positive tone for the summer and as far as give the kids that are playing the game, give them some kind of confidence moving forward. So, yeah, come on out. Great event. You know how we do. So, you know, we always have, you know, a lot of good things going on. We have, you know, some informative things going on as well. So hopefully we'll see you guys out there.
How can folks reach you or what's your website?
You can we switch. We're actually at ultimaterecruit.com. So www.ultimaterecruit.com. You can get us on Twitter at recruit757bball. We're on Instagram, same name, recruit757bball. You can look me up, Jamar Hawkins, J-A-M-A-A-R Hawkins. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So yeah, look us up, follow us. We're pretty much we're who's who of our high school sports. So if you need any basketball, football news, definitely reach out to Recruit 757.
All right, sir. We thank you for joining us this evening.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Hey, anytime you want to come on and share some updates with us, you're more than welcome.
Not a problem. I have to get on before maybe after the event. Maybe we'll give you a recap and, you know, talk about what's going on, you know, heading into next season.
I appreciate it, sir.
All right, have a good one.
All right, you too.
All right.
All right, folks, we had Jamar Hawkins on from Recruit 757 Basketball, Director of Basketball Operations over there, and doing some wonderful things in the community. As always, we appreciate him taking the time out of his busy schedule to join us. We didn't even have a chance to break for any of my usual infomercials this evening. We just was rocking and rolling and getting information out there, and, you know, the weather was playing games with us. We had calls dropping and all this other kind of stuff. But still, all in all, we kept the information coming to you, folks. We kept the information coming to you. Check us out next Sunday evening here at the Parents with the Parents Network, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. As always, help us help you. That's our motto, folks. We try to make it easy, make it better, and make it do the right thing for you and your athlete. For you and your athlete. Help us help you. Well, folks, on that note, it's been fun. It's been real fun. And I'm going to be signing off here. As always, I'm going to have Mr. Keith Wright take us out. Take us out, Keith.